From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon, right afternoon, 12:15, as we are getting going. We'll give the latest, if there's a ton or not, but update on Mike Bianco, his beach vacation, and more here coming up on the show. We'll also take your questions from the message board. If you have something to stream, we'll take yours too. Why not? We're equal opportunity around here. So we'll just be with you, talk about whatever you guys want to talk about over the next hour and how many ever minutes we are with you today. The Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Lunch specials, $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drinks. Also, download the SpeedPass Plus app. Use it, take advantage of it, and save some money in the process there with the Oxford Exxon. Again, all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Don't forget the You Gotta Believe football camp. You can sign up for that. The youth camp is grades 3 through 8, the high school camp, as you might expect, grades 9 through 12. It's at Jackson Academy in Jackson, Mississippi, June 24th and 25th. It's ygbfootball.org. It's the You Gotta Believe football camp. Let's see. I need to find the list of people that are going to be there. It's pretty impressive. Dante Moncrief, Jordan Tamu, Dawson Knox, Cody Core, Chad Kelly, Jalen Walton, Terrence Metcalf, DK Metcalf, who's kind of a big deal these days.
That's a big deal.
He's got a commercial with like Nesquik or something.
Strawberry.
Yeah. Joe Gunn.
Oh.
T.Y. Hilton. So
that's pretty good.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty impressive list of instructors there. If you want to get some football camping in for your football player in your life, ygbfootball.org. And yes, I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. So it's Chase, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. Get your quote. The rest is up to you. 662-257-1900. Guest will join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place this weekend to get out of the heat and hang out a little bit. There's also Rafters on the Water, which will be home to a July 4th fireworks extravaganza. It's also daiquiris, frozen margaritas, great waterfront views. And then don't forget Rafters in New Albany.
So, reading here, Mark says, the longer this goes, the more Vitello becomes a possibility. Is that a complete 100% non-starter? If there is a rabbit, I do think it's Tony Vitello, but no, I think this thing is Mike Bianco for a yes or a no, and then we'll go from there. If Mike says no, I do think Hill could break loose a little bit in the search, but Mike is definitely on a tier by himself in the middle of this coaching search.
I don't think Tony Vitello is leaving Tennessee.
I don't either. I mean, like I said this yesterday, I think they're about to pay him $1.8 million potentially, at least more than $1.5 million.
They might go win the whole thing.
Yeah, who knows? Either way, he's king of the mountain right now. He can do whatever he'd like to in Knoxville at the moment. So,
I think it's far more likely that Tony Vitello takes the next 2 or 3 years, coaches at Tennessee, gauges just how far Tennessee will go with baseball, and keeps an eye on the Arkansas job.
Yeah.
Tony Vitello's in a good spot.
All good.
And the risk of disparaging people who don't have the morality of Jesus here, which kind of sometimes bothers me a little bit, if I'm totally honest, the whole, hey, we got to hire somebody who's squeaky clean. Well, who the hell is that in the real world? But Vitello would have some of the same issues that some of the other people had, just from a, do we really want to go down this path?
Yeah. Reading from the stream, Daniel, LSU fans don't not want Mike enough to make that a problem. We don't have a Tennessee Schiano issue here. They will get behind Mike fine if he is the hire. That's not a circumstance for Woodward to worry about as they move forward.
Yeah, it's no. Scott Woodward's not on Tiger droppings to get the
no
reading the tea leaves.
Woodward may have reservations. The fan support of Mike Bianco is not one of them.
No, not at all.
As he makes this decision or waits on a decision or whatever, whatever's going on. So anyway, yeah, there's that. It's the 27th anniversary of June 17th, 94, the OJ chase and all the things that went on that day. Neil's Mexican restaurant.
Is that when that was June 17th?
Yeah, it was June 17th.
How about that?
94. That is.
Wow. I've tried to tell the kids about that day, and they just look at you like you're speaking a foreign language. They don't get it.
Really?
Yeah, like, what's the big deal? O.J. Simpson. What do you mean you had TVs that you had to turn to different channels?
Yeah, it was O.J., Arnold Palmer playing his final round of the U.S. Open in 94. The FIFA World Cup was going on during that time. The Rangers had their parade, their ticker tape, as they had won the NHL championship. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which you're very aware of, between the Rockets and the Knicks.
Yep.
And then Griffey tying Babe Ruth's record for most home runs before June 30th in the team's 65th game of the season, a season that would be ended by the strike soon after. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Ryan Sandberg had retired 2 days earlier.
Had he?
He had walked away from baseball basically because his wife, Cindy, was having relations with another Cub.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Tony Vitello, I was told yesterday that his agent's Jimmy Sexton. Sexton jumping into the baseball arena for agenting. So there's that. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on June 17th. That was I remember being at my grandparents' house, but I was like 10, so like that's all I got. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
remember the day. I've told the story way too many times, but I remember that day.
That's one of those that really sticks with you, though, isn't it? I mean, out of like 10 days in your life, that might be one.
That was definitely one. That was a fear day. One of the very few times in my life that I've truly like feared for my safety.
Legitimately
was afraid. Yep.
Because y'all called the cops.
Had to.
Nothing happened.
No, thanks to there being cops.
Oh, you think the cops actually stopped something from happening? Had
their
they
presence,
not been there?
Their presence absolutely stopped something from
happening.
Really? Yes, no doubt.
In a Mexican restaurant in Monroe, Louisiana.
Yeah, and when you hear Mexican restaurant, and in your mind you think like someplace in Oxford or wherever.
But it was the spot.
It was the spot, and it was a really big place, and the bar was sort of separate from the restaurant a little bit, and it was a lot happening in those in those few hours.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was. Had there been no cops and O.J. Simpson had committed suicide, there was going to be a brawl in that, no question about it, in that bar.
Because you're old enough, I mean, obviously, I'm not, I guess is the point to this. That was the worry, that O.J. would shoot himself in the Bronco.
He'd written a suicide note that was read on television by Kardashian.
That's right, yeah.
That's the only way I can get the girls interested. I say, Kardashian, and they're, oh, wait, what?
They don't realize they have a father, do they? Like, it's not.
No, he read that suicide note.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the belief was he's going back to his house to kill himself at his house. And there were people in the bar cheering for him to kill himself because they viewed that day as an admission of guilt. You'd killed your ex-wife and this innocent guy. I don't give a damn what happens to you now. And then there were other people in there that were angry about it. He was a celebrity, and they wanted all the TVs off that. And then when the TVs that were showing the basketball game, when the basketball game went, yeah, I get it. This is the NBA Finals. That's a bigger story. We're flipping.
They flip completely, because back then we don't have the.
Well, you did a little slip.
Yeah, we have the picture in picture.
There was a little
things.
Picture in picture, but the big picture was. The chase.
Which makes no sense. You would think you could just put a car going down the road in the smaller picture.
I don't know. And so you had Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing and Hakeem in the small picture. And they went nuts at us. And I'm like, do I look like I work for NBC right now? Which part of this outfit looks like NBC?
There's no peacock.
And it just, Daniel asked, was I going to participate in the brawl? I was absolutely not. I was the one that actually walked out of the bar into the back offices and told management this is not.
This is untenable.
This is untenable. And she said, my boss's name was Cindy. She said, are you sure? And I said, I've never been more sure. She told me later, she said that the way I said it, she knew.
You weren't crying.
I wasn't kidding. And when she went and looked at it, she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you waited this long to come get us.
And the cops just stroll in. And
cops came in and it simmered. And then.
What time did it end? You're still there, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah. 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I remember getting back to my apartment like at 2 in the morning and turning on CNN and they're still doing, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm not sleeping until 4. I'm wired.
Yeah.
Crazy day.
Yeah. So anyway, Mike is out of town. He's going out of town today. I don't know where he went. He's out. There are phones, apparently. I understand everybody's hyped up, but I really enjoyed yesterday a little bit too much at people's expense that because he's at the beach, no business could be conducted. I mean, I told Neil a minute ago, it's like he's castaway all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's
where there's no ability for anything, and he's got the one FedEx box over here he hasn't opened, and that's all we got.
Like, it's Mike and a volleyball and a figure skate, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell can he conduct business, right? He's at the beach.
So, my hunch is that things still move on
schedule.
He's
in like the
here.
South Atlantic out there somewhere. Yeah. I mean, hell, he's fighting for his life right now. He don't worry about jobs. He got sharks circling his island, for God's sake.
Yeah. Perdido is now off the coast of New Zealand, apparently, as he's doing his.
I love the whole. He's going to be at the beach. I mean, there's no chance anything happens before Sunday. And you're like, but. You don't think he could get on a Zoom call from Perdido?
And I don't know if he's in Perdido.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in Perdido or Santa Rosa or whatever. By the way, shout out to Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa Beach in our top 10 markets this week.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Props.
30A. Mike seems like a 30A guy.
I mean,
a little lower.
I'm not making fun of 30A. I love
30A. I'm not 30A. Either.
I don't put the sticker on the back of my car or anything, but I love 30A. You make fun of it all you want. I don't care. I'm cool. It's good.
It's getting busier, which is taking it from what it once
was.
Yeah,
of course.
Saying, welcome to
yeah.
vacation spots.
It's like Yogi Berra said, that place is so popular, no one goes there anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, look,
it's so popular. No one's there.
Yeah, look, I don't, there's no update. I mean, if you read rebelgrove.com yesterday, it's still where we're at right now as we move forward. Glenn Gilbo says that he thinks there's an 85 to 90% chance that Mike's hired in the next 24 hours. I have no reason to agree with that or dispute that. Sure. I'll go with it. He was
on
Bo Bounds this morning.
Percentages.
Do what?
You know how much I love percentages.
Whatever. It's 90% done. Okay, so
that's
awesome.
That's like 13 fire emojis.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like two.
Oh, two of them.
Yeah, right. Sorry. No, it's, yeah. No, it usually goes the other way. What's almost the chances? 20%, 8 fire emojis. It's like, hold, how many are there when they're getting him? 95%, 2 emojis. It's like, okay.
I stopped editing that stuff. I just,
let it go.
Let it go. Screw it.
Yeah. So look, I mean, Keith last night did what you would expect an athletic director to do. Mike Bianco's his head coach. He's supporting Mike Bianco while he is the head coach. If you really read the quotes, he said much of nothing at all.
See, Daniel says Keith Carter said he ain't leaving. And that's,
no, he didn't.
And I know Daniel's kidding, but that's not what he said. It's very important. This is important. Keith is an AD. He's managing two things right now, right? One is Mike's his head coach until Mike's not his head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we covered this ground yesterday with our engaged couple that's having some issues.
We did. A lot of issues.
A lot of issues and problems. If Keith is put in a position where he needs to make the next step, he's got to handle the first step right.
Yeah. His options dwindle if he doesn't handle things right now. This is in Mike's corner. It's not in Keith's corner at this point.
Right.
Keith just has to make sure everything's staying in the tracks here as they move forward. So,
and then there's two things there. One, Keith's not firing Mike Bianco.
No.
Number one, he doesn't want to fire him because he just made a super regional.
Yeah.
Number two, he doesn't want to fire him because that would eliminate some options.
It would. It would hamper his moving forward.
Yes. Remember we talked about Jenny?
Yeah.
The girl that Billy would kind of really like to get to, but he needs his fiance to leave first?
Uh-huh.
Jenny's not coming if Billy ends the relationship with the fiance and breaks her heart.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Don't read much. Like, whatever. As we move forward, we'll let you know, hopefully, soon. I'd like for it to be over one way or the other because I'm getting tired of it. But nonetheless, here we are. So, yeah, that's it. You got anything else to add? Or are you good with that topic for now? I'm sure there's a question or 12.
I got a call yesterday that was like, Mike's in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, well, I don't think he is. But at this point, if you can get me a picture, great.
I would believe a picture, but it would have to – I need to really see it.
Yeah.
Run it through an analytical thing real quick and,
I'd have to look at
and
it.
Make sure. Because, yeah, I had a couple people go, no, he was here yesterday at like 2. I'm like, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't there.
I know exactly where he was. I'm upset that I know, but I know, okay? I hate myself that I know, no. But I know where Mike was at that hour, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what color shirt Mike had on at that hour yesterday. Yeah. I don't want to know, but
no, you've hit the point in this where it's really an embarrassment of knowledge.
Yeah. The amount of things that I actually know about Mike Bianco's last 72 hours scares me a little bit right now.
And it should.
So.
It frankly should.
Yeah. This is a stupid job.
You're bordering on a felony at some point. Yeah.
So we'll get into questions in a minute. There'll be some Mike stuff. We'll go through it as we go. First, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWA at communitymtg.com.
The Oxford Park Commission's in the middle of registration for the 2021 soccer season at M-Trade Park. Leagues are based on birth years. Cost to play is $50, and they're offering discounts for multiple players from the same family. The season begins August the 16th. It runs through the month of September. The deadline to register is June 27th, which is coming up pretty quick. OxfordParkCommission.com for more details or to sign up. We're also brought to you by Lammons. Lammons Fine Jewelry, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, has been serving the Oxford area for almost 75 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, pearls, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more. They're the gold standard in fine jewelry. You should check them out at LammonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. The podcast also presented by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust with more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience in Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. 662-801-1777 to get in touch with the fine people at Comer Heating and Air. And we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop. Two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet in Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem at all. You can visit the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com, plus find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you are tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle. Pinnacle, home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team. Get in touch with them. They'll conduct a complimentary, no-obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast, and you'll be glad you did.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. The Summer Sunset Series in the Grove is, again, this Sunday, all Sundays in June. Live music, take your blankets, your picnics, and whatnot. Enjoy live music there in the Grove again every Sunday, as well as many other events going on in Oxford. Again, go to the events page, find out that, as well as a directory for places to stay, places to eat, much more to do and see. Visit OxfordMS.com/events. This is more of a difficult question, I think, than they meant for it to be. It's supposed to be a joke, but how many bananas would Neil eat if you were guaranteed a football coaching search every year? Do you know how tired you would be from one every single year? Because at some point, do the fanatics stay engaged year over year over year? There's a certain period that has to pass in the middle to optimize coaching searches.
I want one every 4 years with the coach leaving for like the NFL or Ohio State or something.
Yeah.
I've told people, when people go, you hate Ole Miss, I'm like, screw that. If you told me I could design it for me.
Yeah, sure.
I get to build this thing for me. I get to be selfish. You'd win big. You'd win big every year, and about every fourth year, your coach would break your heart and leave for Alabama, Ohio State, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Seahawks, yeah. right? And then we'd get another, like, two-week topsy-turvy.
With a little bit of chaos.
With just some chaos and some big names.
Yeah.
Yes. And then that dude would come, and 4 years later, he'll break your heart, and he'll go coach the New York Jets. That's what would happen in my world. There'd be no 25-year coach, and there'd be no disaster one-year coach.
That's what's amazing. I mean, we've had our fair share of coaching changes. There have been things happen.
Yeah.
some issues and whatnot. I mean, basically, we had a three-year coaching change from a content standpoint with probation and the NCAA search and all that.
Yeah, let's not go back there.
No, I want nothing to do with that shit. But point being, like, it is amazing sometimes, like, well, it's a real happening place, but like Rivals has a board just for employees, a message board. And like some of the guys, I forget that their coaches haven't left in a decade or something. I'm like, God, y'all haven't had a coaching search. Like the poor dude at Iowa, like, hell, it's been 3 decades since he's had a coaching search, you know?
That guy might live forever.
Yeah, so when some dude finally gets fired or leaves or whatever, they're all giddy, and I'm like, God, it's kind of whatever. I'm like, no, y'all hadn't had one since 98. I mean, it's been a minute. I mean, Ole Miss baseball. June 7th, 2000.
Yeah.
June 7th, 2000.
Been a minute. I mean, been a minute.
Yeah, John Schaefer no longer in athletic administration at this point.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. He's very chatty. When I called him in 17 for that big story on Mike, I couldn't get off the phone with John. And he doesn't know me. We had never spoken before. I don't know John Schaefer. He had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
All the stories. Hey, call back sometime. All right, John. Awesome. Good to catch up.
Y'all still talk a lot?
Tell Mary I said hello. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, in talk sense.
Like I said, I think his son was like a coach at Richmond University. I think he was a basketball coach.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, that's what I think. Let's see. Yeah, nobody would read a book about Mike's tenure. There's not enough there for really good program that didn't win enough. News at 11. There's no scandal. There's nothing overly compelling.
Really good guy. Really good coach.
There are a couple seasons that if you could do like a Feinstein type thing would be kind of interesting.
Sure.
But even if only a couple of them, frankly, not a lot. A lot just kind of went script.
Yeah.
The 09, obviously, with Biddle's injury and the button and trying to get over the hump and the whole thing.
The end of that one would be hard read.
If you're picking one, that's the one. If you could pick one season of Mike's tenure to do a book on, that's the tenure. That's the season. Yeah, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah.
You could say 18 with Tennessee Tech, but frankly, they were kind of boring all year.
The year they broke through would be a good story. The year of the Texas game, Texas series, would be a good story.
It would.
I mean, the best story is 09.
Good characters.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people.
You have the Pomeranz game.
Yeah, you're following Drew all the way through. You're the whole deal.
Yeah.
Frankly, you're coming off the 08 year where they were mental midgets and freaked out. And they were, you know, they go from number two in the country to a 3 seed at the number 1 overall siege regional. Thanks, Larry Templeton. And they move through. So, yeah. Mike leaves. How long of a turnaround would it be to hire a new coach? What does your gut tell you? I mean, you could do this thing in like 4 hours if you'd like. But, no, look, Keith's going to do his due diligence. The question, what are you laughing about?
What do you mean due diligence? What the hell are you talking about? I mean, what does that mean?
You don't think he at least kicks the can on some other dudes? Like for a minute?
No!
I mean, just for a minute. Just
for what?
Just... Well, there might be somebody out there better than Dan McDonald. You go uncover.
Who? Tim Corbin's not coming.
That's the list. I mean... And I have a feeling Dan would win at Vanderbilt.
Dan would win anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this thing could be very fast.
I mean, on the list of elite coaches that you could get, that's it. I mean, yeah. I'm not, and that's not knocking anything, but I mean, Tim's not leaving Vanderbilt for anywhere unless he got a hankering to be a major league manager or something, and I don't think that's his deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are the other, quote, elite coaches?
There's really not. I think
Lemonis is getting there, and he's not leaving Mississippi State for Ole Miss. I mean, there's just no.
Yeah, Schlossnagel's at a new job. O'Sullivan, obviously, the hell with that.
And he's not elite anymore because of his issues.
Yeah, that's the list.
I mean, there's just not this long list of dudes. I mean, I don't even know that you would call Dave Van Horn an elite coach. He's won a whole bunch of games, but he's not leaving. The guy at NC State's won 1,000-plus games, but he's not leaving. And that wouldn't be a splash. I mean, I mean, you can be cute and look around and say you did your, as you called it, due diligence. I just pick up the phone and call Louisville.
Hey, Vince, I'm going to call your baseball coach. Cool. All right.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, I'm calling your baseball coach, and then I'm finding a way.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we make this happen is my question.
He would have to tell me no.
Multiple times.
Numerous times over a period of days. He probably would have to issue a restraining order.
And then I'll move on.
And then I'll move on to the next guy.
Yeah.
And I'd want it to go quick enough that the next guy didn't get upset.
Well, yes, true, too. Yeah.
So I would, in the words of Will Wade, come with a strong-ass offer.
Dan is not waiting on Vandy, but he would win a ton of baseball games at Vanderbilt.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. You put potentially the best coach in the best program. And
Nick Saban says hi.
Yeah, that could get ugly. Because, I mean, anybody can coach Vanderbilt.
And I don't mean any disrespect towards Corbin because
he's done a hell of a job.
Unlike a lot of people who criticize the Vandy thing and they criticize Corbin, I don't. Corbin is doing nothing outside of the rules, and he's just built a dynasty. Credit.
He does do a great job of marketing, handling his program, frankly, in a lot of ways, kind of Mike does, and then managing the former players, making sure he keeps all those relationships clean, all those relationships great where they come back. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job on kind of the pipeline of the Vanderbilt thing as they move forward. He's done a really good job with
that. Yeah, if you're grading him on a 1 to 100 curve, he's about a 99 because mm-hmm. I think we're getting to the point where you can forgive the David Price year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In 07. Yeah, sure. W. Burns 42 asking how we all are. I'm good. I'm tired a little bit. I feel better today than yesterday. I'm mm-hmm. all right. Yeah, fine.
I got a good night's sleep last night. Woke up kind of fresh. Took the dogs for a walk. Already been to the gym. Yeah, the whole deal.
I got in bed later than I meant to, but I'm cool. I don't sleep much anymore, so it's all fine. But I am finding that I'm having a harder time moving around in the mornings because of that. I'm kind of mad at myself. Like, if I just go to bed 45 minutes earlier, I would actually be much more productive in the hours that I would like to be productive, yeah. Which is like 5 to 6:30. That's the golden time. That's the golden time. Me time. Well, your phone's not ringing. Your kid's not up. That's currency right there now.
See, I've gotten to where she gets up. I get the dog food and the coffee and all that stuff ready the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel guilty. She gets up and feeds them because all she has to do is take the bowls and put them down. And I actually sleep in a little bit more. That's kind of nice. I like those 30 minutes.
Yeah, I've got to where I will just be drinking coffee and kind of catatonic instead of actually getting work done now from that hour. Grind says, maybe I'm a closet Vandy fan, but the Whistler doesn't bother me. I don't see why he's so hated. He's the most annoying human being on the planet.
Man.
Your hearing needs to be checked.
It really does, Grind. You need to get your ears checked. It's grating.
Yeah, Ginger, what was that game like? I remember when Zach Putnam beat Vandy, but what was that like? She said she was at the 07 David Price game.
Oof.
I mean, stunned. I mean, it's Michigan, for God's sake. So... Look, State doesn't have a title, but they have everything else to be known as one of those level programs. I mean, it is what it is at this point. Somebody says they're a top five baseball program. That five might be a touch high, but they're certainly top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Here the last 3 years, they're top 8.
Well, they've been there, yeah. It's been reported Ole Miss will have a new merchandise provider. Is that true? Yeah, but it's not like Nike. It's... They got rid of Fanatics. Like, it's the people who actually supply the merchandise.
Right.
And like whatever, whoever sells it or however that works, this isn't my area. But
so Jordan Brand's not happening just yet.
Yeah, that's not what that meant. this just means whose name is on the website and whatnot to sell that stuff. I mean, it might be better, it might be whatever. I'm sure there's some benefits on probably selection and on timeliness for different things. But beyond that, I have no idea what the difference is or not. MoRep 32 says, I know you guys work on a lot of stories that never get published one reason or another. Can you explain how many hours a year are spent on those? I mean, not many. There aren't a ton that get thrown away.
No.
There are a few today that could, but they're...
three, to be precise.
Yeah. But technically, no, it's not a huge... That's not a huge time commitment that gets... Whatever. I mean, it's hot boards. I mean, I've done 10 hot boards that have not been used over the years. And somebody's leaving the system for the hell of it.
There was
like
one
years.
That stayed in the system for 2 years.
I didn't
years.
Want to get rid of it. And now looking back, I couldn't reuse hardly any names and it wouldn't matter. So
no.
I think Butch was on that thing. But Butch was on that thing.
Yeah. Butch picked the wrong year to have a bad year at Auburn.
Yeah, it was not a good time to suck.
No.
No. He pulls off 19 and he's cooking right now.
He's an Aggie.
He is an Aggie. Yeah. Yeah, Jim's still at TCU or he's at LSU or something.
Oh.
Actually, he'd be at LSU because, you know, he has history at Tulane. He's been in that area before.
He would be at LSU.
Yeah, he'd be the coach at LSU. If Butch doesn't suck, Jim Schlossnagel's at LSU.
I think so. Today.
Oh, I feel really good about it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm almost, as I talk that out in my head, I'm almost 100%
you're like,
sure.
Yep, that happens.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Let's see. I have no idea what the scholarship situation is like at Louisville at all. I don't know. No,
they have 11.7.
Well, they have at least that for sure, yes.
I think that's it.
Well, Kentucky has a lottery, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're going to get something extra. I just don't know to what extent it looks like. That's not one of the ones I really dove into a few years ago when I did that.
I don't think they're super duper financially invested in it.
Well, they're not. They lose money. I mean, they only started charging attendance like 2 years ago, and it's only like $5 or $10 walk-up general admission, I think. I mean, they hemorrhage money in the sport. What are you laughing at?
Life says that y'all saved the blurb from the Shula hot board.
I'm sure we can find it. It's in there somewhere. Let's see. Scenario one, Mike stays Ole Miss head coach but doesn't even make a super next season. Is he fired? Most likely, I would assume. I'm guessing Keith hadn't said that, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Scenario two, same, but he makes a super, no Omaha. I still almost lean yes, but that's a really hard. I mean, super 3 years in a row. I don't know.
You're back to ceiling floor.
I know. You're in a weird spot right there. I mean, that's frankly worst case because you've done nothing to gain capital, but you've done a lot to hang on, and I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. Scenario three, Mike goes to LSU, odds on McDonald and Godwin's next head coach. What would you guess on assistance for both? Odds are really good that Godwin would take it. Dan will listen, and I think there's an above 50% chance, but I'm not going to go 100 by any stretch of the imagination. Look, Laff would have a spot on Cliff's staff for sure if he wants it. I would assume he has a spot with Mike in Baton Rouge if he wants it, just a guess, but that's my guess. I don't know beyond that. I don't know if there would be a push at LSU for, you know, I don't know if Mike would take Clem with him. I don't know if he would try to hold on to Nolan Kane, the LSU hitting coach, who was kind of beloved down there, played under Maneri. Dan has been gone so long that I have no idea what his staff would look like. He's had his pitching coach, if it's still Roger Williams, forever, and I'm assuming it is, but I haven't looked at their coaching staff. So, no, I don't know what Dan's would look like. I can't guess at that. I mean, I know Dan, but I don't know him well enough to have some strong opinions there. Let's see.
You searching?
No, I was looking at something else. Let's see. Fast forward to Bianco to LSU, name a more diverse collection of coaches in the same admin than Orgeron, Wade, and Bianco. Well, one doesn't fit. Let's see. What?
Yeah, Mike would
stick out a little in that.
Just a little.
Yeah, look around and go, whoa. Race ranked based on personal experience, three least offensive, bothersome SEC fan bases. South Carolina.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
They're perfectly
fine. To me, I've never had an issue with them.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
There's nothing bothersome about, if you take out the Whistler, Vanderbilt fan base.
It's true. Kentucky. You have different issue with them than I do, but.
Well, man, Louisville that I typically hated. Kentucky feels like the answer. Because we don't deal with, like, Florida much, so I don't know. They might be obnoxious, but I have no clue.
They can get kind of obnoxious.
Who's your third hated? Because it's State and A&M.
Yeah.
Who's three?
That I hate?
Well, that bother you. Sorry. Most offensive or annoying is how it's referenced.
I mean, if I go to their message board, the Arkansas people are really offensive. They hate me.
They are, yeah. That's true.
I don't have an issue with Missouri. Alabama fans can get pretty obnoxious, but they're winning at a level that sort of justifies it.
Oh, it's Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I've just never really run into them the way that other people have. A&M and...
Those two are so far out there.
Yeah, it's like you're given a bronze medal, but you're not even thinking about who steps on the podium. You're like, just somebody do it so we can sing the song and be done.
Yeah, they're not winning.
No, and you could just go leave it alone and let these other two.
It's like Phelps and some Australian won two, and then the other dude in the pool that finishes third.
Some cat who happened to get wet.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's the two. It's not even three. It's just two of them. Giggle. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service available as well as network security, parental controls, and more. Again, 662-238-3159.
I want to welcome a new advertiser to our family of podcasts. It's Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate based in Jackson, Mississippi. They service the entire state in all commercial asset classes such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox and B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss graduates, and they utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignments and increase value for their clients. Pinpoint's core development and occupancy solutions for landlords. They take pride in their attention to detail, professionalism, and hard work. So for all of your commercial real estate needs, please give Sam and BB a call at 601-586-3220. Again, 601-586-3220. Also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling this summer, maybe you're planning something for the holidays, maybe you're already booking some extravaganza for next year, whatever the case may be. Now's a really good time to book that. There's some great deals that you can take advantage of still. Get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. And then sit back and do nothing. He's going to come up with an extensive list of options just for you. 901-494-3387 or send him an email. jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Alpha Specialties. Alpha Specialties located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail, Hallmark cargo trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you as well. Spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. A full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. They also do all types of truck accessories. Listeners can get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection at Alpha's full service shop, where they repair all types of trailers, concession, horse, utility, enclosed, gooseneck, RV, and more. It's 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com.
Let's see. Circling through questions a little bit. Is Mike fishing, snorkeling, scuba diving, or relaxing in a chair? I got a feeling he does some activities. I just don't see Mike ever sitting for long, long periods of time.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't. My guess is he's not reading four books while he's on.
You think he's out snorkeling?
Maybe. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
We could.
Yeah. Let's see.
Florida State's fan base is awful.
Outside the SEC, it's
the worst.
They are literally the worst.
They're awful. My God, they're annoying.
I'm not around enough Georgia people, and the ones I am, I'm kind of friends with. I don't know the random Georgia person. LSU never really bothers me that badly, frankly.
Georgia's pretty arrogant, but it's fine.
Georgia.
I mean, every fan base has. I mean, you have to understand this.
Has its faction.
Every fan base has a faction of just people that need to be taken out back.
Yes. Yeah.
Worthless.
The bottom 10% of all fan bases.
Yes. Eliminate them from the face of the earth.
Who killed John Benet? The brother. Yeah, I feel confident about that.
You wonder if he remembers doing it.
I mean, I haven't deep dove into John Benet the way I have OJ, but I have a pretty large extent. I have a pretty strong feeling that it's the brother there. I've been with that a long time, and that last documentary that was done didn't change my mind.
They did what most parents in that situation in the middle of the night would have done, right?
Probably. I mean, hard to put yourself there. One of them's dead now, the parent?
Yeah, she died. She died of cancer.
Okay.
Patsy.
So I've told you this before. You saw him on the road, right?
Yeah, I was driving to Atlanta from Auburn, and they passed me on whatever that was, 85? Because I looked, and then I looked again, and like, son of a...
And you recognized
them. Oh, yeah, it was them. For sure. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of done too. Like I had a friend recommend a John Benet podcast like a few months ago, and I went, nah, I'm good. I've completely filled up my think tank on that, and I need nothing else.
Okay, so Barrett has a good question here since it's kind of OJ day.
Sure.
Did OJ do it, or was it his son, or do you think it was both? And I'm adding to Barrett's question.
I think it was OJ.
You think it was just OJ?
Yeah. Don't you?
I'm not sure.
When multiple people start getting involved on something like this over this period of time.
Someone talks?
Yeah.
Where do you think the knife went? He dumped it in the ocean, didn't he, Kardashian?
What did Gilbert say about this in the book?
He implied that they got rid of it.
Yeah, that and the glove, because something was thrown in the dumpster at the airport.
Yeah.
Was that the knife or was that a glove?
I think that was the knife.
Okay, yeah, Gilbert, who was...
But somebody else has said that they think the knife went into the ocean.
Okay, yeah, Gilbert is the agent for OJ, if anybody who hasn't read the book, which is probably most of you guys. I'm one of the few idiots, but...
I've read it, too.
He mentioned some evidence getting tossed into a dumpster or something around LAX. But it's been a while. I don't remember exactly how it worked out.
What must OJ have thought when he realized he had a cut?
Oh, that's your...
That's your panic moment,
yeah, that's
moment,
the
right?
beyond panic moment. Well, look, OJ was as surprised as anybody when he's found innocent in that courtroom.
Had to be.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I mean, had to be.
You could see a path where it was going to happen, but actually hearing it. How long did he end up serving?
In Vegas? He was in prison 10 years, wasn't he?
Was it that long?
Oh, yes. I've absolutely listened to the Curtis Flowers podcast.
Yeah, you got really into that.
That was, man.
Was Tim Corbin or Dan McDonald LSU's first call? Tim. They've been obsessing over Tim.
The first call was O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
When they saw that beginning to unravel, they threw, it's my opinion, and it's pretty educated, that they threw an incredible amount of money at Corbin, and he just wasn't interested.
if you had to take a beach trip with two Ole Miss coaches, which ones and why, it's Lane and Malloy, and I don't know that it's even a conversation.
Matt Mott maybe and Malloy?
Yeah, because I can make Malloy play golf with me, and I got a feeling Lane's not trying to, like, stay out all night and do anything. Like, he's so reserved. I actually think, like, he's just going to chill on the beach, yeah, like, for a while. Like,
Lane and I might actually get along on the beach because I don't know that we'd ever say anything to each other, you just know?
Seriously, I think he could just headphones in, chill for, like, 8 hours. Yeah. I mean, yeah, to me, that's there's a very small whatever that are far beyond other options in this. No offense to Smothers. I mean, yeah, I think it's Malloy and Lane without even a question. Who's expected to contribute heavily from the baseball class showing up this fall? Jackson Job, who pitch on Fridays. And great job.
I'll take that bet.
I mean, you never know. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know.
OJ was acquitted, for example.
It's 50-50. He's going to sign or he isn't.
That's a good point.
There's no real way for Ole Miss to bridge the 11.7 gap. There's just not. At what point is it too late to add transfers to the football team for this season?
I mean, you can do it up until August. It's the right position. You can do it. Someone can step in right away. They can enroll in time for the August semester. I mean, realistically, you'd like to have them on campus here in a couple of weeks when the second term starts, but you're talking about deadlines, the drop ad date in August?
Yeah. I mean, and that's late. I mean, that's almost the first game.
Yeah. But, I mean.
I know you wouldn't wait till then. Right. I'm just saying, in theory, yes.
But, yeah.
How many posters do you and Neil have collectively on Ignore? I don't have many because I can't stand when I know there was a post in the thread, but I can't see it. It drives me insane. So I would rather just see it and move on with my day.
I got a few.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want all the information. So when there's a thread and it says like poster ignored or whatever it says in the little thing, I'm bothered. I can't see it.
If it's someone who's nothing but a troll, I'd easily just ignore. Because, frankly, that's what the ignore function is for. And when they get reported, my response is always, the ignore function works. It's there for a reason. Use it.
I mean, yeah, I get it. I'm going to do. But EOSII says, convince me we have enough front court depth in basketball.
Convince me that I've got enough hair on the top of my head.
Oh, that's not nice.
That's mean. I can't tell you.
What's
that
the path?
Well, they think Brooks is better. Brooks is better than they thought he was going to be. I'm going to preface this with something that's going to sound mean, and I don't mean for it to, but I've been burned on this the last couple of years where I write a lot or listen to a lot of the preseason hype that comes out of the program. And then when they don't quite live up to it, people have a tendency to shoot the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take the heat. It's no big deal. But fool me once, shame on me. Fool me three times. Fool me once, shame on you. Right. Fool me three times, shame on me. And I'm going to be very conservative in my preseason basketball coverage. I'm going to let them show me.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I get that.
They like Brooks. They like Brakefield. There's some other guys there. We'll see.
My God. So this is – I'm sending something to you. Dylan just sent me this tweet. It says, Jacob DeGrom's release points from all of his four-seam fastballs and sliders this season. We always talk about tunneling.
You know, he left yesterday after three innings.
Saw that. Here, I'm sending to you now. Check Matthew Brownstein on Twitter for anybody following us. Tunneling for anybody is releasing all of your pitches from the same location, which hides it and tries to be deceptive as the ball's coming in. It's kind of the new in vogue thing.
Whoa.
They literally are on top of one another. His release point is literally the exact same for all of his sliders and four-seam fastballs this season. It's remarkable.
You know, he pitched the first three innings against the Cubs last night, and Rizzo almost took him deep.
Mm-hmm.
But he just blew through everyone else. Three up, three down, all three innings. And you have to remind yourself, those are major league hitters. Javier Baez is one of the best hitters to ever come out of the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Patrick Wisdom was a first-round pick of the Cardinals. These are people that make millions of dollars to hit balls for a living. They are very, very good. And DeGrom makes them look like Cale Baker against really good pitching. And when that happens, you have to go, oh, my God.
He's that much better than everyone else.
So we haven't talked about this at all. The money bag tie brings up the substances. What's your thoughts on the whole grip thing?
I have a little bit of an issue, but I mean, this is going to sound, I'm not really being flippant. I'm trying not to play both sides against the middle. I have no problem with that being allowed to some extent, but I do get how if there's literally no regulation, that becomes way beyond what is palatable. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, it's almost like I'm being stupid here a little bit, but like, if you could just use a little bit, or if like there was something that allows it, I don't really have a problem. But I don't necessarily need us using Vaseline all over the baseball or anything along
those
lines.
Do you buy the pitchers now saying that you're going to hurt us? If we can't grip the ball, we're going to strain elbows and shoulders and such.
I have a hard time buying that.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, I mean, there's not a higher injury clip in high school or college baseball because of that.
Right.
And those balls aren't doctored to that extent. No, I don't buy that at all.
Are college players doing the sunscreen mixed with the rosin to get a little extra grip? Do you hear anything about that at the college level?
You don't hear it. I mean, possible, sure. I mean, I have no way to dispute that or agree with it. But no, I wouldn't think, like, again, to the it would be isolated incidents more widespread for sure.
It was actually the story that I told myself. I was kind of mad that the regional was Zoom only, because I was actually going to go do that. I never even brought it up to you.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It was coming up. I was going to go to all four teams, so it wouldn't look like I was picking on somebody.
Yeah.
And ask pitchers.
Do you know of any of that?
Do you put sunscreen on your arms? Do you put resin with the sunscreen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you touch your arm and see if anybody kind of smiled? Like, is Trevor Bauer, who I know everybody hates. I love Bauer.
You do.
I do. I'm a Bauer guy. After the Dodgers game the other day, they went to him and he had the ball like this. The ball was stuck to his thing. And he goes, looks illegal, doesn't it? And they're like, well, what is that? And he goes, that's sweat and resin.
And that was it.
That's it. He said, so how do you, and he was talking about how do you, they've made the umpire, judge, jury, executioner. How do you even appeal? Because, hey, my hand was sweaty an hour ago. It's not now. It was pretty interesting.
The umpires in college pick and choose who they want to pick on a little bit on different things they do. I mean, like, they called the ball on Diamond, I think, because he had gone to his mouth without wiping it off prior to touching the ball. But it's just, I mean, you're picking and choosing who you decide to say something to. And frankly, no umpire is going to say something all the time. They're just not. They're not going to stop the game, slow it down along those lines. Let's see. What would you say is the biggest positive for Ole Miss if Mike Bianco stays? Stability, consistency. They're never going to suck. Program doesn't fall off the map. He'll find a way to have a pitching staff next year. I mean, status quo, nothing bad. There's no oh my God to it. The biggest positive if he leaves is you get a fresh start, and two, you have all your potential replacement options on the table. I mean, that's the thing about down the road is that there's no guarantee that Dan McDonald or Cliff Godwin is on the table as you move forward into other years. It's not just a 1-1. It's a trickle down effect.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Raid through it. Peter asked on the board what our walkout songs would be. I don't really have a one, but I will say I think I've changed. You know, used to everybody looks for, oh, the real aggressive or the rock thing. Kevin Graham going to Hall & Oates this year.
Yeah.
Completely changed my opinion on it, where you go, no, let's do something that's kind of snappy, kind of whatever. Like,
yeah.
I mean, every time it came on, I was in a good mood. I was kind of like tapping along a little bit, like, some of that kind of stuff,
his song?
It was Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was great. That's fantastic. Awesome. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I would probably do something 80s for fun.
Yeah. And it's not like cliche, like Your Love or something. No, like it's
I might do like Rob Thomas's Unwell or something like that.
Okay.
Have a little fun.
Yeah, I looked up the 25 best walkout songs in baseball history on some site today. And I didn't know that Mariano Rivera didn't choose that. The Yankees chose it for him,
is
and he was assigned it.
And so he just stuck with it.
Yeah, Enter Sandman by Metallica. Yeah. And yeah.
Which is badass.
Oh, it is. Like it's I mean, from a pure atmosphere standpoint, Mariano Rivera, Enter Sandman, and Trevor Hoffman, Hell's Bells are by far the two best ones.
No question.
But yeah, no. Yeah, he did not choose that. The Yankees just assigned him Enter Sandman, and it stuck and kept going from that point.
I could come out to Careless Whisper.
Who uses that?
Does someone use that?
Josh Reddick used to use that. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Josh Reddick used to use that, I'm pretty sure. He was actually on the list. So I learned a few different things. Because I would say, I mean, the top four most known, Hoffman, Rivera, Chipper with Crazy Train.
Yeah. Anthony Rizzo comes out to a lot of...
For some reason, I think he's on the list down here.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Bad Blood right now is what it is. And
which I think is funny.
Jeter used This Is How We Do It, right? What, he Montel Jordan?
I can't remember. That sounds right, but I can't vouch for it.
Okay. For some reason, I felt like that was correct. Just kind of circling through this. Randy Johnson used Welcome to the Jungle. Cespedes uses Circle of Life from The Lion King.
So which is the one that Kyle Schwarber uses?
I have no idea.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, Josh Reddick, Careless Whisper, Wham.
Oh, that's really good.
It says, another silly pick that managed to win over fans, being the opposite of a traditional walkout song, Wham, Slow Jam, Careless Whisper, had A's fans bringing their own prop saxophones to the ballpark to bust out when Reddick stepped to the plate.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
That's great.
He did that. Bryce Harper uses Flower by Moby.
I always think people see my thing on Peloton and probably imagine me being someone completely different than
you're not getting picked for
like I'll go take Cody Rigsby's class and they probably think I'm in my element.
Yeah. Bad Blood currently for
Anthony Rizzo. Yeah.
That's correct. Will Smith uses the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song.
Because,
You kind of have to at that point, I think. I think you're locked in. So, Return of the Mac is a great walkout song. It really is. It is a fantastic walkout song.
Was it the entire Nationals team that came out to Baby Shark?
Did they? I don't know.
A lot of them did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Xanadu.
Chinese or Mexican food for the rest of your life, it's Mexican and it's not even a conversation.
Wouldn't even think about it.
I mean,
easy.
I would be Mexican food. I mean, you never want the same food for everything, but I could be fine with that. There's enough variety. I wouldn't have to eat bread all the time. I could do some different things.
Oh, sure.
Chinese, I'd be depressed. Like, I'd have a hard time finding things.
Because that flavor profile's.
Because like Chinese is not even like necessarily Japanese. Like if I just had to eat fish and rice, okay, I'll get by. Like if they give me Japanese, like okay, I don't love it, but I can finagle enough stuff and all that to make it work. Chinese, that would be my least, honestly.
Yeah, Mexican would be my first.
If I get the whole range, it's Mexican or Italian.
Yeah,
because I can do charcuteries and different things and salads.
That's true.
I think Italian's number one, actually.
I was watching some food show yesterday, and it was an Italian place in Philly, maybe? It looked so simple. It was fresh-baked bread, a grilled sausage, and these grilled peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way it was. There was no fanciness to it, and it was fantastic. It looked fantastic.
Mm. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy. We've been telling you for a week or so about the CVS Caremark prescription card. If you're a state or school employee, you might have one of these now. It is not CVS Pharmacy. That is not what they are referencing. You do not have to change or anything. Keep doing what you're doing with G&M and Tyson Drugs. They're in Holly Springs or Oxford, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. They'll take care of you once a month with your prescriptions, whatever you need, delivery or carry out there from the pharmacy. Again, 662-236-2222.
Blue Delta Jeans makes the best-fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Father's Day is Sunday. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift for the father in your life. A custom pair of Blue Delta Jeans is a great way to show you care, give a gift that will bring a lifetime of joy. So visit BlueDeltaJeans.com, purchase a gift card that can be redeemed in person or online, or contact the folks at Blue Delta to schedule an in-person fitting for the dad in your life. Don't forget to use the code REBELGROVE online or in person for 10% off any pair of jeans. And the Oxford Exxon podcast, is brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. It's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, Duckhead, True Grit, and more at The Rogue. So go check them out. They've been delivering fine men's clothing for more than 54 years. Their classic style, attention to detail, and commitment to excellence continues to make The Rogue a special place to shop. It's 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com.
Through a little bit.
You a big queso guy?
I mean, who doesn't like queso? Sure.
If you're offered salsa or queso, which do you pick?
It used to be queso nonstop. And I have to be careful with salsa because you don't have a tomato allergy.
Yeah. Does that extend to like tomatillos?
No, I eat the crap out of like salsa verde.
Okay.
So no, I mean, in most salsa, I don't know if it's because of acid or what it is. It doesn't really bother me like it would if I just had a bacon cheeseburger with just a raw tomato on it. Even the little bit of acidity in salsa is enough to cut whatever it is that
really
that causes a problem.
So like the lime or whatever, and it kills it.
I guess. Because like even like cooked, I mean, I eat tons of marinara and stuff. Like that's not a problem. But yeah, just like a raw tomato that is the issue. But it's become salsa as I've gotten older. And maybe that's a palate thing. I don't know. But I mean, I still like some queso. But now I only want chips and queso. Like if I order a burrito, I would either do no cheese or shredded cheese. I wouldn't want queso on the burrito or anything. Like I'm good.
I'm the same way, I think.
So it's just, yeah, it's chips and queso. But yeah, I mean, everybody likes melted cheese. What is there not to like?
Let's say I get frustrated with Carson because he loves tacos and doesn't like enchiladas. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
Is it the enchilada sauce?
I guess it's he doesn't like the bakedness of the enchilada.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say anything.
I won't walk into a room with a banana, so I'd...
It's fair. U.S. Open winner. Ours doesn't work off one person in my fantasy league, but Xander Schauffele. Let's go with him this week. I don't know.
I'm just cheering for Phil.
You're cheering for Phil?
I'm cheering for Phil. No, I'm cheering for the guy that got pulled off after three rounds.
John Rahm.
I want him to win.
Okay. Yeah. He might be the betting favorite coming into the week, actually.
Well, I'm for him. In fact, if he's winning, would you send me a text that goes, hey, you do want to watch?
Okay. You'd like to watch his last round if he's ahead.
I would thoroughly, thoroughly be invested.
Okay. All good.
He's kind of my guy now.
Is he?
He took one for the team the other day, but you know he wanted to say something different.
Let's see. Kind of running through. As of now, do you think...
I like guacamole, too.
Ginger. See, I don't really.
Now, I like it, if especially if the avocado is... I don't want it mashed to the point that it's smooth, but I don't want giant chunks of avocado.
There's
in
a
it
middle
either.
Ground.
There's an absolute middle ground, and if you get it right, I'm...
You're all in.
All in.
Okay.
And put some chopped jalapeno in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
As of now, do you think Keith is actively talking to candidates, whether through back channels or directly? No, I don't.
No.
Let me
reiterate this. I'm trying to make this clear. We need to give the fiance a name. What do you want her name to be?
I thought we already had a name.
No, we have a name for the other girl.
Why'd you name her but not her?
I don't know. Because right now she's more important.
Cindy.
Billy needs Cindy.
Why don't you go with Billy? Because you always go with Jimmy. We always do Jimmy.
Jimmy's
in this too?
Jimmy's in this too.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy needs Cindy to go to Billy.
Yeah, right.
Jimmy needs Cindy.
Oh, Billy's the other dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy needs Cindy to go to Billy.
Yeah.
And for them to have a happy reunion.
Sure.
As crazy as it sounds, Jimmy needs Cindy to leave him for Billy.
Yeah.
First.
Correct.
And he needs that to be on the record for it to become – he needs them to put it on their Facebook pages.
Okay.
So that he then can call Jenny.
He's completely free.
And when Jenny says, why are you calling me? What about Cindy?
Yeah, no, huh?
You need to look at her Facebook page.
Yeah.
We're no more. She left me for Billy, and I'm happy for her.
Happy for Billy.
I'm happy for both of them. They're good people, and sometimes things just work out in a certain way, and maybe this is our time. I've always thought we had something, you and me, but the timing wasn't right. Well, now, Jenny, the timing is right. You screw up any portion of that equation, and the whole thing falls apart. No, he is not calling other coaches now. Keith is not calling Jenny. Jimmy is not calling Jenny just yet.
No.
He knows her number.
Very aware. But
not yet. Patience is a virtue.
How much money would it take for Neil to keep a pet snake, a small non-venomous boa constrictor or something like in your house? Like,
oh my God, a lot of
money. But hold on, I agree with you, but once you got over like the mental worry that it would get out,
yeah,
is it really a big deal? It's just like sitting over in the corner. It's not going anywhere. It's in a case.
It only has to get out once.
Well, you don't let it get out. Like once you got over that it's not going to get out.
You know, Chase, there was a scene in For Love of the Game. A movie that if you think about it, kind of covers...
How were you getting... Okay.
Kind of covers all of life. And Billy Chappell is in the bullpen, and the manager says,
"Oh,
you know, you're about an hour late." And Billy says, "Skip, have I ever not shown up?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, no. But everyone says that until the first time they don't show up."
Fair.
And if you think about that and extrapolate it out into a lot of things in life, it makes a damn good point.
But it also makes you pessimistic as hell in every single thing you do. Well, this could be the first time.
Well, life is about risk and reward.
And Billy had the point. This Billy, not that Billy, Billy Chappell. That stereotyping and profiling saves time sometimes, as Corolla would say. He's always shown up, so there should be no worry that he's not going to show up. Just like the snake has been in its cage or its thing, whatever. Not a cage, because that would be kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's aquarium deal. Every day for however long, odds are it's still going to do that again tomorrow.
I get it.
You still have no interest?
No.
I mean, all you got to do is like occasionally take the top off and feed it, but...
If that occasionally is like more than once in a lifetime, that's too much.
But you want it well fed.
Well, I don't want to think about putting the rabbit or whatever the hell it is in the aquarium. I don't want to do that.
Daniel, 100%. Jenny was by far the worst character in Forrest Gump.
She's a horrible, horrible, horrible character. I'm not sure that at the end...
She's a horrible human being.
At the end, when she somewhat redeemed herself,
yeah,
it was a lot late.
Yeah, no.
Horrible to Forrest. She was good to Forrest at the very beginning and at the very end and nowhere else in between except for that one night. When she was pretty good to him.
Yeah, she was nice to him early. Shut up. No, I refuse.
She was nice to him early. She saved him from a beating.
Yeah.
She was nice to him.
She gave him a seat.
She was nice to him at the very end, and then she was nice to him that one time in the middle.
Is that the movie's overrated though? Right? It's a good movie. It's. I'm scared to look.
He got censored. He said she gave him AIDS. She didn't give Forrest AIDS though, right? Did Forrest have
no?
No, she died of it.
Yeah. I need to watch the movie again. That's not how that ended. Yeah, Ginger, the movie's over. Like it's. I understand like why it's an epic. It hits a lot of things, but okay. I'm beginning to learn. I just hate most movies. Very few movies that I actually like, but I like Boyhood. It's an awesome movie.
Andrew makes a good point. Jenny had a rough life.
No, I get that.
I mean, really rough.
Dear God, make me a bird.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's
That's
some
tough
there's some...
now. There's a lot there.
I think I have this. You know, I think I've said this. One of the first people that was potentially going to be cast is Jenny. Actually, is a girl I knew in Ole Miss.
Really?
Ended up not getting it because of like height or something. But yeah, was in the running for
that
Jenny.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched the Marvel. Well, I take that back. I've watched like 20 minutes of the first Marvel movie, and I promised this summer to fully commit to it. But
the Marvel movies—it's
just not my thing. I'm having to force myself. I mean, I've been given the list of what I have to watch, how I have to catch up to watch whatever it was I was trying to watch. Now I don't remember the name of it, but I'll get there. But we haven't. I've been busy. Okay. Last few days, I haven't had a lot of time. No. It's been a little.
You hadn't had 3 hours to sit and watch a movie.
Yeah, my phone rings a lot right now.
Well, we're at the point now where the phone ringing is no longer.
We're not there anymore.
We're not accumulating information anymore.
No, we're just going in circles.
Now we're just,
nonstop.
Yeah.
We're talking to each other over and over and over and over again. They each have their place. What?
Larry Joe's.
Gosh. You guys today. They're all three in different categories. Better baseball movie, Bull Durham, Major League, or For Love of the Game. They all have their place in the genre. They're your kids. They just have different profiles.
Yeah, I don't want to pick a favorite.
Yeah. Even watchability, it's hard to pick my favorite.
Because it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
If I'm in a silly mood, give me Major League.
Yeah.
If I'm in...
If you're kind of sappy, you're watching For Love of the Game.
Yeah, and if I'm just kind of there, give me
Bull Durham crosses the most area where...
And there's some moments of Bull Durham that'll kind of get you a little bit in the feels.
Yeah.
A little bit, especially if you ever played ball of any sort. It doesn't have to be baseball.
Yeah, no, just sports in general.
You ever played?
Yeah.
That moment where you realize, I'm not going to get to play anymore.
And everybody has that.
Yeah, and most people are cognizant of it when it hits.
Who's one of the most fun MLB players to you? I can say I was. I can't say I was old enough to really watch him in his prime, but watching clips of Griffey blew me away. For me, as I grew up, it's definitely Ken Griffey Jr.
The most fun?
Yeah, just fun. At my age range, that's the answer.
Bo Jackson in the '80s.
Okay.
Bo Jackson, Ricky Henderson. Andre Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, Dale Murphy. Ryan Sandberg early in his career. I was Carson's age when Ryan Sandberg had his MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
I was in.
Yeah, I'm too young for that. So, we'll close. Last question from our buddy Pants 83. Where in Maine does Neil plan to retire? They have no venomous snakes, a cool climate, and very few people.
Oof.
And a beach.
Boy, you're speaking my language.
That beach though is probably miserable.
They
from
have
like
any
November to.
They have any summer? Yeah, I want a little summer.
Pleasant.
Yeah,
but it's not gonna be hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure the summer's nice in Maine.
Yeah, I
probably some lighthouses and stuff.
I'd be interested, sure.
Okay. Fair. We'll be back with you on Monday, barring any things happening prior to that that would force us to potentially do a podcast.
Oh, surely, my God, it's over by Monday, right? Over odds that it's over by Monday.
I think it's over by end of day tomorrow.
Okay,
is my guess. It's a guess, but that's where I kind of am with that. So
yeah, I don't see how this gets to Monday.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. So, all right, we'll wrap it up there. Podcast whenever you get the next one, but Monday at the latest. Thanks in the live stream. Thanks for the questions on the message board and everybody who listens wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Take care, and we'll talk to you again very soon.